Chapter 13.
You're sure?
Cat asked the engineer.
We can use it now?
I'll need to check that Arnie hasn't spotted anything faulty, Matteo nodded. But it seems like it would be good to go.
Finally,
Becca said.
I can't believe this could all be over soon. No more dino fighting, no more blood-soaked clothes and running around trying to blow stuff up in the head. Oh,
Heiwan said.
Blowing stuff up in the head is fun sometimes.
You would love the spaceship cannons,
Kat said.
You need to try them out.
Ladies, I interrupted. Let's walk while we talk. If we don't move quickly, then we'll be the ones getting our heads blown up with cannons. There was a sudden electronic wailing noise that seemed to come from Leo, and I jumped back as the guy sounded like he was about to explode.
The fuck is that?
Kat barked. Leo held up one finger as he hastily unzipped the top of his flight suit, and he pulled the map screen from a pocket.
How did that fit in there?
Becca asked. Pocket, Leo replied flatly, and he'd clearly decided he didn't need to explain any further. The alien scowled down at the map screen and hit a few buttons until the alarm sound stopped. But I didn't like the sound of that noise, and I figured it must have something to do with the fleets. What does that mean? I asked. And my blood ran cold as Leo shared a silent glance with Adhara.
No,
the beautiful alien breathed.
The fleet are here, Leo confirmed. They have arrived in this solar plane.
Fuck, I growled. How long does that give us?
Maybe an hour,
Adhara whispered.
It will not be any longer than that for them to reach Earth's orbit.
Adrenaline and panic kicked in at the same time, and my whole body felt numb. We only had 1 hour to save the world. It wasn't much time, but it would have to do. Let's go, I said, and my throat felt dry. There's literally no time to waste.
This way, Matteo said, as he gestured for us to come through the staff door. It's the fastest route.
We followed the engineer into the staff room, and he ran into another dimly lit corridor. It wasn't decorated with photos and information like the tour halls were, and there was only enough room for us to hurry along in a single-file line. There was a metal staircase at the end of the corridor, and it led down into a well-lit tunnel area with a few computers and an enormous curved pipe, which was painted blue. Arnie was hunched over one of the computers, and he typed furiously as he squinted down at the screen. He still had the hilt of his fire sword attached to his belt, and he quickly looked up as our footsteps rang out around the room.
Oh, thank goodness! The older man gasped. I was quite worried for a while there. How did it go outside?
Well enough, I panted as I came to a stop beside the blue pipe. There was a low hum that echoed through the room, and Becca gasped as she stared at the machine in front of us.
Is that it?
The blonde Brit asked excitedly.
The Hadron Collider?
Sure is, Arnie called. Welcome.
It was way bigger than I was expecting, and it felt weird to be finally standing next to the thing that had basically caused the whole dinosaur apocalypse. I ran a hand over the cold blue metal, and the massive tube vibrated under my palm. I shivered a bit as I realized I was right in the middle of making history.
We are finally here,
Heiwan whispered as she touched the blue metal.
This is what created this whole mess.
And now it's going to help put an end to it, I nodded. It better work quickly. The clock's ticking.
All right, Arnie said. It should be all set in just a few moments. I'm only running one final test to make sure it's 100% ready to go. I don't want to give you any more false alarms.
I can't believe we're here,
Kat muttered.
This is really happening. Holy shit, we're going into space. Are you only just realizing that?
Becca laughed.
That's been the plan for a while, sweetie.
I know,
the soldier said.
But so many things have gotten in the way. It just felt like we were never actually going to reach the finish line.
Don't you guys need equipment to tweak this thing so it can teleport us to the mothership? I asked, as I turned to Leo and Adhara.
I have equipment,
Leo tapped his chest pocket, and I raised an eyebrow as I looked at the flat material against his skin.
It doesn't look like there's anything in that pocket, I said.
It is flat-packed, Leo replied as he wrinkled his forehead. So it can be in clothing. Humans do not have this.
Just assume we don't have anything useful, I sighed. How long will it take to set up the trip?
Only only a few minutes,
Edhara said, and began to pace back and forth.
Then we will be on board Mothership. Having the ship inside the solar plane already is not ideal, but it will help us now. More chance of the travel working fast. At least that's one upside,
Becca muttered.
I can't fucking handle the stress of a countdown.
One step at a time, I said. We need to stay focused.
Should we plan what we are going to say?
Heiwan asked.
What are we even going to do? Are we just going to track down Atara's parents and show off our bellies?
I don't see what else we can do, I replied. If they really won't accept anything other than visual proof, then actions are better than words.
How big is the ship?
Kat asked as Arnie typed furiously beside her.
Will it be easy to navigate around?
I have not been on this one,
Edhara replied.
Our mother ships are very big, though. It is not like our scout ships. There will be many floors and rooms. Crap,
Becca sighed.
What if someone catches us before we can get to them? My parents will not harm me,
Edhara said firmly.
I will not let them harm my family also.
What do we do whilst you're away? Mateo asked. Just sit here and hope you manage to save the world in time.
I guess so, I said. I would definitely stay down here. It's probably the safest place you guys can be right now.
Arnie has his sword,
Becca pointed out.
You guys are sorted.
Hilda must be going mad over at the dome, Mateo mumbled. Maybe I should go over there and...
No, I refused. I know the herd has scattered for now, but they might get brave and come back. All it takes is one to notice you and you'll be dead before the world gets saved.
Just a couple more minutes, Arnie muttered as he clicked the mouse,
and the Hadron Collider hummed a low note beside us. I felt like I couldn't keep still, and I started to pace up and down the room as I tried to picture the way our plan would play out. Best-case scenario was that we found Edhara's parents quickly, and they immediately believed our story. They would call off the fleets without any questions and then zap all the dinos back into their world. We would be free to live our lives together without fear. I had almost forgotten what it felt like to wake up in the morning without the sound of roars in the distance. Of course, there were a few worst-case scenarios, too. There was still a chance we wouldn't make it in time. Any second now, the alien fleet could descend into Earth's atmosphere and unleash hell upon us. Or we could make it on board the ship and Edhara's parents still wouldn't believe us.
Will the black hole thing definitely work?
Becca asked.
Have you done it before?
Black holes? Mateo stared at us with a severely furrowed brow.
You can't be serious. It is entirely impossible to...
You know nothing,
Leo flatly informed the engineer.
But...
Mateo started to argue, but he clamped his mouth shut as Leo turned to face him head on.
I wouldn't argue with Leo,
Becca whispered out of the side of her mouth. The buff alien man crossed his arms and stared down his lilac-colored nose at the engineer with narrowed eyes. He didn't say a word for several seconds, and Mateo slowly shrank back as the moments passed.
I know infinite more than you, Leo stated at last.
Yes, of course,
Mateo instantly agreed.
Do not interrupt with primitive questions, the alien demanded. I do not like it.
Understood.
The engineer promptly nodded, and he straightened his glasses without another word. Leo kept his eyes locked on the man for another silent moment. But then he gestured for us to continue our conversation.
Yes, the black holes will work,
Edhara assured me.
This will not be a problem.
Do we jump through it?
Kat asked as she tilted her head to the side.
How do we actually use them to travel?
There is no jumping,
Edhara said and shook her head.
We just need to be holding on to equipment when the time is right.
Leo unzipped his chest pocket and pulled out a flat silver pouch. Then he shook it. And as it suddenly started to expand before our eyes, the alien set the pouch down on the floor. Mateo gasped as it quickly quadrupled in size. The pouch kept growing until it sat at about 2 feet long, and Leo crouched down to unzip the bag.
Bloody hell, Arnie whispered from the computer. It really is astonishing how little humans have achieved, isn't it?
At least we have this, I shrugged, as I gestured to the Hadron Collider. But Arnie couldn't take his eyes off the silver bag. Leo began taking out various items, and Edhara knelt beside him as they spoke quickly in their native tongue. They examined the items closely and set them on the floor carefully, and I got my knees beside them to have a look. As expected, everything looked highly futuristic and shiny, and I tentatively held up a long, thin rod made of a glistening, pearl-colored metal.
"You know how to use these?" Leo asked,
and I smiled at his impressed tone. "I'm afraid that part is up to you guys," I said, as I put the rod back down. "How we looking, Arnie?" The old scientist clicked several things on his screen before he replied. Then he turned to us as he stroked his beard, and his pale blue eyes were wide open.
"I think it's time," he said,
and a chill ran down my spine. I got to my feet and looked over at the girls. Becca had her hands clutched to her belly, and she swayed gently from side to side. Her deep brown eyes were fixed on Arnie, and a determined scowl was plastered on her face. Haywan was perfectly still, and she had her hands resting on her sharp gun as she looked over at the Hadron Collider. Kat had her arms folded tight across her chest, and she glanced at me with half a smile. I got the impression they were all feeling the same sickening combination of nerves and adrenaline as I was. Everything we had fought for came down to this moment. The trip to Ravenscar, and then to Jeju Island, every dino fight we nearly didn't escape, each night we'd huddled together as close as we could be. It had been a hell of a ride, and we had gotten through all of it as a family. It was all to get us into the basement at CERN, next to one of the biggest scientific achievements mankind had ever made. Then out into fucking space. "Let's do this," I said. "Everyone ready to save the planet?"
"Fuck yes,"
Edhara said, and the group erupted into laughter at her serious and perfect pronunciation.
"What do you need from us?" Mateo asked. "I'm not very well versed in my alien travel science, I'm afraid."
"You have done all you need," Leo said with an approving nod. "We will do travel from here."
"Is it okay if we stay and watch?" Arnie asked eagerly. "Even if the world does end, I would like to take in as much of this alien technology as I can. It's simply fascinating."
"You can stay,"
Edhara nodded.
"When we finish saving of the world, you can have as much of our tools as you want, to say thank you."
The old scientist smiled almost deliriously and rubbed his hands together as he stepped back from his computer. "What do you want us to do?" I asked the two aliens. "Do we just stand next to you and wait?"
"I can't believe we're going to see a black hole,"
Becca squealed.
"This is going to be so cool. Do they look like the portals?"
Edhara and Leo stared at the blonde blankly, and then Edhara shook her head.
"You will not see it,"
Edhara replied.
"It is very small. Too small for a human eye." "Oh,"
Becca said as her shoulders slumped.
"That's no fun. But you will see the tear,"
Edhara continued.
"Tear is much like the portals. This you will pass through."
"Okay,"
Kat said.
"So we can see the actual portal tear thing, but the black hole just helps to create it?"
"This is correct,"
Leo nodded, and the soldier looked pleased with herself.
"A quantum black hole?" Mateo asked. "You're going to use that? I can't believe this. Maybe when all this is over, we can get some alien staff down here?"
Edhara smiled as she walked over to the thick blue pipe and held out a device which was about the size of a smartphone. It had a small screen with characters I didn't understand, and a low beep echoed from it every few seconds. Leo picked up the pearlescent rod and stood next to Edhara as they watched her screen. "So how does it even work?" I asked. "How do you just make a black hole?"
"It's all about the particles produced when protons collide," Arnie said excitedly. "I cannot believe I'm here for this."
"Protons, particles, got it,"
Becca said as she twirled a strand of hair.
"How long will it take?" "We need to help by sending this interference signal into the collider,"
Edhara explained as she waved the handheld device.
"This is what will guarantee the black holes to appear."
I glanced at Arnie, who was rocking back and forth on his feet, and I just knew he was dying to have a go at the alien science equipment. The small device continued to beep, and the aliens talked quietly to each other for a minute.
"Some assistance may be needed," Leo said, "to know when particle collisions will occur."
"You can control this, yes?"
Edhara asked Arnie, and the scientist nodded.
"Absolutely," he replied. "Why don't I show you the sequence required on the computer? It really is quite simple. I assure you it is nothing compared to your own technology."
Leo strode over to the computer, and Arnie pointed at a graph on the screen.
When you wish the collision to happen, he explained, you simply click here to release the particles, and you'll hear a change in the sound.
The low hum in the tunnel became a higher note, and it echoed around the walls as the Hadron Collider vibrated. Leo checked the screen of his device and nodded.
These can track the exact moment of collision, the alien said. So we know when to bring Black Hole out of machine.
Right out here?
Heiwan's blue eyes widened.
Yes, good spot to travel,
Adhara replied.
That's safe,
Becca checked as she eyed the area.
Just putting a fucking black hole in the middle of the room?
Leo sighed and leveled the blonde Brit with a stern look that was easy to read by now.
Yeah, fine,
Becca muttered.
Primitive question, I got it. I feel like I'm in an episode of Doctor Who,
Kat said.
Six-year-old me would be losing her mind.
Oh,
Becca pouted.
You little nerd. Good thing you grew up to be hot.
This is incredible,
Mateo muttered as he leaned over to see Leo's device.
I've been an engineer my whole adult life, and everything I've ever worked on is crap compared to this stuff.
There was a distant rumble above ground, and I hoped the dinosaurs hadn't started to come back already. Surely we had scared them enough to leave the building alone for a while. I glanced at Mateo and Arnie, and I suddenly felt uneasy leaving them in the building. Arnie had the fire sword, but that wouldn't be much use if a herd descended upon the research center. I was about to ask if they wanted to stay in the ships, when there was a rattle upstairs. We all grabbed our sharp guns instinctively, and I took a step toward the staircase.
Another raptor, maybe?
Kat whispered, and a sound like footsteps suddenly started racing in our direction.
It doesn't sound that big,
Heiwan murmured.
Hopefully there's only one of them.
We can't let it down near the Hadron Collider, I said. I'll go up the stairs and... The door swung open, and Hilda stood at the top of the stairs with wide eyes, and her red hair sticking out at odd angles.
Hilda? Mateo gasped. What on earth are you doing here?
Did you come from the dome by yourself? I asked. What the fuck? You could have died.
Well, I was frightened,
the scientist snapped.
You all left me by myself.
You chose to stay there because it was safe,
Mateo said through gritted teeth.
Remember? There was a whole conversation between us, and you didn't want to come and help.
Well,
the red-haired woman sniffed.
I'm here now. Lovely,
Becca said stiffly, and she took a step closer to Adhara before she propped a hand on her hip. I sighed as I let go of my weapon, but I knew there was a chance the CERN workers would get themselves eaten if they stayed in the building without us. I noticed Arnie had taken one of the bags of food with him to Building 33. So all they needed was a safe place to stay where the dinos couldn't reach them. Do you guys want to wait in the ships? I asked. And the scientist stared at me.
The ships? Mateo asked. Us?
Yeah, I nodded. I'm sure Adhara and Leo wouldn't mind, and it would mean you could be protected by the force fields while we're away.
I thought you said underground would be safer, Mateo said.
It might be from the fleets, I nodded. But if four angry T-Rexes come to destroy the building, you could get buried down here. I don't want to scare you, but maybe having protection from dinos would be the best thing.
And you won't need to worry about the fleets anyway.
Kat shrugged.
We're all set to go save the world. You guys just need to survive until then.
I'm not getting on those things,
Hilda spat.
It could be a trap.
Fine, I said as my patience wore off. You can stay here without the protective shield and try out hand-to-hand combat when a group of raptors break inside. The red-haired woman pursed her lips, but she didn't argue anymore.
You can stay in my ship,
Adhara said.
But do not try to fly, and do not touch anything. It's my ship.
I wouldn't dream of it,
Mateo said hurriedly.
Arnie told me that the interior is amazing. I can't believe I get to go inside one.
I'll need one of you guys to come with us, I said to the aliens. Just to get through the force field. Sorry to pull you away from your work. Leo frowned as he glanced at me.
I do not wish to leave this. I will give you a coating instead.
I looked at the alien man blankly and tilted my head to the side. Coating? I asked. What is that?
It is a high-frequency energy,
Adhara explained.
We can use tools to coat you so you can pass through force field. Why the hell haven't we done that this whole time?
Becca scoffed.
It wears off very soon.
Edhara shrugged.
I did not have tools for it. Leo has them.
Are you sure? I asked, as Leo bent down to rifle through his silver bag. This will definitely work?
It lasts about half human hour,
Edhara said.
Maybe less. So you must be fast.
Okay, I grinned. Let's do it. That way you guys can stay and work. Becca and Haywan, stay here too. It's just a short walk, and I don't want you two out in the open when you don't need to be.
He's getting all protective,
Becca pouted.
I love that. We can help, though. We're pregnant, not made of glass.
I know, I chuckled. You're both ridiculously incredible, but it's just a quick run. Cat can come with me.
Can I get the coat thing, too?
The soldier asked eagerly.
I've always wanted to jump through the force field.
You do that already,
Haywan pointed out.
It probably feels the same going through both ways, right?
Actually not,
Edhara shrugged.
Going in is more, buzzy? I do not know human word.
Leo stood up with a golden disc that was about the size of his hand. He grabbed my arm and turned my palm upward.
This might feel, he said.
Feel what? I asked. But then the alien man slapped the golden disc into my outstretched hand. The disc was ice cold, and I shuddered as a chill ran through my body. I felt like I had goosebumps over every inch of my skin, and then after a second, the feeling was gone. Leo took the disc from me and gestured for Cat to stick out her hand.
Does it hurt?
The soldier asked, as she eyed the device. Not really, I looked down at my arms. It's just really fucking cold.
Holy crap,
Cat gasped, as Leo placed the golden disc in her hand. So now we can go through the force field? I asked. And Leo nodded as he took the disc back from Cat.
Now you two, he said as he pointed to the scientists.
The CERN workers hurried forward, and Leo placed the disc in Arnie's hand first. The older scientist shuddered and then laughed as he looked down at his hand.
Incredible, he muttered as Mateo was given the device.
Whew, that is cold, the engineer shivered.
Hilda was last to receive the coating, and she gingerly held out her palm. She winced as Leo placed it down on her hand and wrinkled her nose at the lilac-skinned man. Leo didn't seem to notice her grievance with him, and he took the golden disc back wordlessly.
Like we say, not for long, the male alien warned. Go now.
Thanks, I grinned.
Be careful,
Haywan said.
We don't know how long those dinos will hide for. They might get brave again soon.
Of course, I smiled. You guys just don't jump through any black holes until we get back.
You do not jump,
Leo began, and I waved a hand. I know, I chuckled. Forgive my human attempt at understanding. Love you guys.
Love you,
the three girls echoed, and Leo raised an eyebrow. Okay, I said. Let's go. Cat ran beside me as we hurried up the stairs, and we made our way back to the dark tunnel entrance. The CERN workers were silent behind us, and I felt like my heartbeat was going a million miles an hour. As we ran through the dim halls, I realized the usual surround sound of roars wasn't there. I guess it's still clear out there, I said. We really put the fear of God into them with those cannons. I slowed down as we reached the smashed doorway and carefully stepped over the broken glass as we stepped outside. There were still some tiny dinosaurs in the nearby landscape, and they looked like they were picking at the exploded flesh that littered the ground. Blood stained the ground red around me, and there was a putrid smell of death in the air along with all the goop and bones that was strewn everywhere. There didn't seem to be a single spot that hadn't been splattered with some form of dino insides. But then I heard the unmistakable cry of a Mapusaurus far off in the distance, and it sounded pissed. Come on, I said. Let's get these guys inside before something gets brave enough to come back. We sprinted over the bloody grass toward the glistening force fields of the ships, and I kept a close eye on the sky as we ran. When we reached Edhara's craft, I slowed down toward the entrance out of habit, and I eyed the hazy shield warily.
I guess we just...
Cat trailed off and stopped at the door.
We just jump through?
I guess so, I agreed. We better do it quickly before this coating thing wears off. I braced myself for the coat not to work and to be smacked right back into the ground as soon as I tried to jump inside. Then I took a step back and leapt through the doorway with my whole body clenched. As I passed through the force field, my body felt like it had gone numb for a split second. It was as if I had been submerged in a pool of ice, and it was too cold to even feel properly. Then I landed on the ship floor, and the feeling vanished. "It worked!" I cheered, and I gestured for the others to follow me. Mateo went next, and he cautiously stepped through one leg at a time. "That is bizarre," he shivered as he joined me. Hilda half-jumped and half-stumbled through the entrance, and she stared silently around her and flinched as if something was about to attack her. Kat gave Arnie a hand to climb up through the doorway, and the old man laughed as he slowly passed through the shield.
"Oh, my goodness," he chuckled. "How bizarre! How wonderful!"
Kat leapt through at last, and she threw me her lopsided grin as she landed.
"Nice,"
the corporal laughed.
"I wasn't expecting that. I feel like I just took a cold shower."
We headed through to the control room, and Mateo walked around with his mouth hanging open.
"This isn't real," he muttered. "I'm in a coma. This cannot be real life."
"It's real, all right," I chuckled. "Welcome to alien space travel. So, a quick tour. That's the control panel."
"Don't touch anything on it,"
Kat added.
"Adhara will be pissed."
"Exactly," I said. "But you can sit in the chair, or there's a bed back here if you guys want to sleep." I was about to lead the scientist to the bedroom when I hesitated. It wasn't long ago we had a rampant sex session in there, and we hadn't exactly found time to do laundry.
"Adhara told me the sheets self-clean,"
Kat whispered with a barely concealed smirk.
"You're all good."
"Ah," I cleared my throat. "So, yeah, the bed is back here. I guess you can have a bit of a rest."
"What's through there?"
Mateo asked as he pointed to the weapons room. "That's the armory," I said. "Well, it was. We have most of the weapons now, but Arnie has his sword, and I think there's a sharp gun left in here." Kat swung the door open, and I stepped into the pink-hued room. There was one gun left on the back wall, and I grabbed it before I handed it to Mateo. "You know how to shoot?" I asked, and Mateo shrugged.
"I've had a go at a shooting range before," he said, "but not really."
"We don't have time for a lesson," I said. "If you stay in here, then you shouldn't even need to use this. Just in case you do, aim at whatever the fuck you want to kill and pull the trigger, that's it."
"Noted,"
Mateo said nervously as he clutched the weapon.
"So nothing can get through here? Even if a T-Rex comes along, it can't step on us, or bite us, or...
"Nothing can touch you," I assured him. "This alien technology is legit. You guys are as safe as it is possible to be right now."
"Well,"
Hilda muttered.
"I suppose it's mildly helpful."
I raised an eyebrow, and the red-haired scientist cautiously examined the control panel. "Don't touch it," I said firmly.
"I wasn't,"
Hilda huffed.
"Jason, we should get back,"
Kat said. "Let's go," I nodded. "You guys will be okay. We'll see you when this is all over."
"Thank you,"
Arnie said quietly, and Mateo gave me a silent wave. I turned and ran back toward the exit, and then I leapt through the force field. The familiar buzz was all I felt as I jumped through, and Kat was right behind me as we started to run back to Building 33.
"You think they've done it?"
the soldier asked as we raced across the grass.
"I hope so,"
I said. We sprinted over the broken glass and into the dim building. I didn't speak as we hurried back toward the dark tunnel, and the hair on my neck tingled as I thought about how close we were to saving the world. As we reached the metal staircase, I could hear a dull hum that echoed around the walls, and the hurried chatter of the girls came along with it. I took the steps three at a time and jumped down onto the underground floor. The girls and Leo stood staring at something that looked like the portals we'd been seeing for weeks, except it was inky black and only about 8 feet tall.
"Holy shit,"
Kat breathed as she jumped down beside me.
"Is that it?"
"We did it,"
Adhara said with a stoic nod.
"We made the tear. This is how we get to the mothership. Leo followed Arnie's instructions,"
Becca said.
"And it worked. The black hole got sucked down into the room."
I walked forward slowly and tried to take in what I was looking at. It was like there was a hanging picture in the middle of the room. But when I stepped past it, there was no shelf or hanging. Nothing to support it, only the black void. A tear in the universe to transport us into an alien craft.
"I can't believe we're here,"
Becca said.
"It's finally time."
Are you sure this is safe for humans?
Heiwan asked.
We don't need to use that golden disc thingy?
You do not, Leo said. Anyone can pass through.
Okay, I said. And I couldn't take my eyes off the doorway to another world. It was so strange to see something like a portal, but with no dinosaurs coming out to fuck with us.
Who's going through first?
Cat asked. I will, I decided as I stepped right up to the tear. If there's something waiting for us on the other side, I don't want any of you to get hurt.
Do you know where exactly on the ship it leads?
Becca asked, and Adhara shook her head.
It is impossible to say exact location,
the alien said, and her emerald eyes were fixed on me. So I just step through? I asked, and she nodded.
You will not feel anything,
Adhara assured me.
We're right behind you, Jason,
Kat said as she folded her arms.
Always.
Becca nodded. I looked at my four gorgeous girls and then back at the ominous void before me. If I wanted them to have the lives they deserved, I needed to do this. It was the final hurdle. All I had to do was leap through a floating, black void into an alien spacecraft full of a race that wanted to kill me for all the wrong reasons. Let's do this. I took a deep breath, and without a second thought, I leapt toward the void. As I jumped, I heard the girls gasp behind me. Then suddenly they were gone. I wasn't in CERN anymore. It took a second to realize I was in a small silver room with a doorway right in front of me. I didn't even know if I was on the ship until I spun around to see a large window that went from floor to ceiling. Outside was an endless abyss of black, decorated with countless stars, and my head felt weightless as I gaped at the view. Then a grin crept over my face. It worked. I was in space. On a motherfucking spaceship.